Blog Talk Radio.
This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, let's see. We got rid of the cold. We had the heat. We went back into the cold again, and would you believe, like, yesterday, there was, like, snow. But, okay, now there's no snow. It's getting a little better, but I'm indoors and doing the show, and we got a great show this evening, quite interesting. First, we're going to have, the Tribeca Film Festival is going on here in New York City, and one of the winners of the festival is a man named Lawrence Becker, and he won for a 6-second animation. So we're going to talk to him because we want to find out how he composes his animations and talk about his career. And then we're going to be talking about Jazz Overground. It's the Spring Jazz Festival at Flushing Town Hall in Queens in New York City. And we have two people from the company that's called Jazz Overground. Amanda Monaco and Brian Woodruff, and they're going to tell us what it's all about, including the mission of Jazz Overground. But first, well, you know, it's absolutely, it's sponsored time. So I'm sorry, that was Esther. Yes, Eunice, you might as well say hello to me. My rubber chickens are here today. All right, just go in the other room. All right, if you need to, in case I forget something, they'll kind of let me know. But in the meantime, all right, we have to have, of course, a word from our sponsor. Here we go. Okay, here. Chocolate.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calibo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yeah, and you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com, and maybe I'll tell you later about where I went to today regarding chocolate. But we're not going to get into that. We're going to get into the Tribeca Film Festival. Hello, Lawrence.
Hey, Merle. How are you?
Oh, just fine. Did you drool?
What's that?
Did you drool over the brownies?
They should sound good, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, can you just, like, briefly tell us what the Tribeca Film Festival is?
I mean, it's just a gathering of a ton of filmmakers, and I'm one of these smaller categories, but... I was in one of the smaller categories, but yeah, it's just I don't know how long it's been going on for now, 20 years or so. De Niro started it off, and it's I'm hopefully going to go see some films this week, But yeah, it's just a lot of documentaries and independent films, and it's just kind of a celebration of film.
So is it kind of like the opportunity for people to show films that haven't got shown yet? Is that
Yeah, it's kind of a mix. I mean, I know they have I'm no expert, but they have little known filmmakers, and then they have really well known filmmakers, and a lot of actors kind of do some side projects away from their big projects to do some Tribeca kind of artsy films and
So as opposed to like, I'm not going to see a movie that's been out. I'm going to see, you know, people are sort of like wanting to show either, you know, their new stuff kind of thing.
Right. And you might not see them. You might not see them otherwise in theaters. You know, most theaters just play the big, you know, blockbusters and everything. They don't show a lot of these films. So it's an opportunity to see some work that you otherwise wouldn't see.
Now, how did you like get? How did your film get to be part of it?
Call it a film. But,
we'll call it.
Sorry. There was a contest last year, and I missed out on it, and again this year, and I've a lot of fun on the Vine. Second. Animations and so I entered a bunch and I just thought it would be fun. I did not expect to win, but it was a pleasant surprise to win. It's hardly on the level of the other filmmakers, but it's still amazing. So.
Who do you know? Like who the judges are in this? So do you have any
One of them is a guy named Jerome Jarre, and he is a pretty popular Vine maker of videos. He kind of he was one of the first people on there, and he started his own company that reach out to brands and connect people with Vine people, Vine content makers, and he was one of them. Another one was, I have to look at the list, but I know one of them was the Levi's brand, the guy in charge of their brands at Levi's Jeans. And then there was a couple filmmakers, and I'm not sure exactly everyone that was on the list, but
okay.
Good people to judge.
Want to get an idea. So was yours put in a particular category?
Yeah, I entered a few into the animation category, which I got actually got a runner-up in that. But I entered – the one that won was for the genre category, which is basically, you know, if you want to do like a Western or a fantasy or sci-fi or something. So mine kind of falls in between – probably those last two, sci-fi and fantasy, it's somewhere in there.
And the total amount was 6 seconds, is that it?
It's like 6.5, but yeah, it's 6 seconds.
So, I mean, did other people enter for a six-second animation, or it's just that's how much you happen to do?
No, it's always it's a six-second film, the contest. So yeah, people, a lot of people entered. A lot of great animators. I mean, I've come to know a lot of the animators that were picked and were my competition, and they're all really, really good. So.
Oh, that's cool. Now, is this the first time that you got anything into Tribeca Film Festival?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Very exciting.
But I understand you have been making a living at this, though.
I have, yeah. It's,
tell me about how you work. I understand it's a little different from, it's not digital. Is that what I got?
It's not. I use very old animation techniques mixed with some little tweaks I've put on myself, like made myself. But a lot of the techniques I use are actually from, you know, when animation was all done by hand, and Walt Disney was using planes of glass to shoot and make it look like it has more depth. I use a ton of different techniques. I use clay. I use paper cutouts. A lot of times I animate over an existing video with layers of glass. Like I said, it's called multi-planing. And I shoot down through the glass so you can't see it, but then there's paint or there's paint or whatever is on the glass is what's being animated, and then the video screen, I'm progressing the video frame by frame, so it looks like you're in a real world and things are floating, or like in the one that won, that's a video screen in the back, and then I have either two or three layers of glass with styrofoam and baking powder that are animating the snow to make the snow look like it's moving.
So just to get an idea, so because people can't, I mean, we can put it up later on the internet, but so
yeah.
People can get an understand of what is this 6 seconds, then what are people looking at? What does it kind of look like?
The one that won, you mean?
Yeah.
All right. It's actually part of a larger film I'm making, all out of Vine animations. But the one that won was there's a giant ball of snow, and I'm next to it in the open field of snow, and the ball bursts open and turns into almost like a being with a head and arms, and then it wraps around me and goes up into the air and then enters into my mouth and kind of, you know, the name of it is The Vortex Finds a Host. So I'm its host, and it goes into me, and then I fall down into the snow, and that's the end. But it loops on Vine, so.
Where do you get your ideas from, or what, for your animation?
Everything around me, really. I mean, that came because there was so much snow this winter, you know. There was so much snow, I was like, I might as well go make the best of it. So I'd go out each day, and I'd act with things that aren't there in the snow and make sort of an ass of myself in public. It was just sort of that. I mean, these ones in particular were just because of all the snow. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. Everyone else hates this, but I'm going to go have fun with it. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm influenced by everything. New York is a constant, you know, barrage of all sorts of things. So it's not too hard to come up with ideas here.
How long have you been doing this?
I started animating when I was 14 or 15, actually. This is what I pictured myself doing. I kind of got off track for a while, but now I feel like I'm back on track. I started doing stop motion when I was in high school. My junior year and my senior year, my final projects were both animations. And so I've been doing it a while.
Okay. Do you have any favorites of what you did?
Any favorites of my work?
Yeah.
There's a few. There's actually one of my favorites. Actually, was a collaboration I did with my longtime friend Greg, who I grew up animating with. And he actually animated it, and I did the voiceover. You might like it. It's a comedic piece where it's a children's book author who's trying to do a season's greetings, but he keeps getting interrupted by the stagehands and getting angry. You can find that on YouTube. It's called Roll, like Roald Dahl, but Roald Stevenson Outtakes. As far as my work, most of the stuff on Vine, if you find, there's just a ton. I don't know if I could pick favorites, but I certainly like the snow ones. The snow ones are fun.
Okay, so we can see some of these on, what would be like the website to go on? Like if I Googled your name and the word Vine, would that do it?
Yeah, you can go to vine.co/Lawrence Becker. And
by vine.co/Lauren Becker.
Yeah. That's basically, if you don't have the app, you can go to that and you can see everything on your computer on the web. But I also have a website where you can see some compilations and stuff, but probably Vine is better.
What, like, in terms of stuff that you have, like, do you have a lot of things? In other words, like, to do this type of animation, because mm-hmm. it's not digital, you have to have a lot of, I guess,
yes.
items, you know, junk.
I see where you're going.
Whatever you want to call it.
The answer is yes. I have tons of stuff. I have a whole kit filled with little miniature trees and bushes, and I have tons of little I have a whole box of clay and fake, like, little miniature grass. I have tons of stuff. I love getting miniatures from train model stores and, like, dollhouse stuff, because that stuff is great for what I do, and animating, you know, miniature items is really fun, because on screen you can't tell the size, but yeah, I just have, you know, endless paper and lights and glass and just my girlfriend has to deal with it all, and she's, you know, so I try to clean it up as much as I can, but it can get pretty messy doing it all by hand.
Do you, like, do your friends, like, look for things for you?
Yeah, sometimes. I've had people, yeah, I had someone give me a little miniature wrench recently, a little tiny wrench. I still haven't figured out what I'm going to do with it. But, yeah, I mean, most of the time I go out and I, like, look for stuff where I can, or go on the web and look for stuff. But
you find stores that, like, sell miniature things?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just found one here in Ridgewood, the art store in Ridgewood. I was pleasantly surprised to find they have a ton of doll miniature stuff, like little cans and tools and plates and all these little tiny things, and I get all excited when I see that stuff.
So, like, arts and crafts stores, I guess.
Exactly.
Bead stores, too.
What's that?
Stores that sell beads.
Oh, yeah, 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 totally. Absolutely. All those things are useful. Sometimes you can use things like beads or otherwise for to look like other objects, you know, like the styrofoam ball ended
right.
up being the snowball in the animation. So,
well, but these bead stores tend to have a lot of other stuff that, you know, that, because you're working with not just the beads, and they tend to sell some other things. It occurred to me, and I don't even know where I was. I went to some place that had all these miniature things, because I, for some reason, when a while ago, before I stopped creating Christmas gifts, I used to try to create Christmas gifts for people. And
okay.
one day I came up with making, like, a personal small tree. So I would go
right.
and I would buy, you know, the little tree, and then I would, and I found this place that had all these miniatures, like a suitcase, a computer,
yeah.
all these kind of things, so that I could, like, personalize somebody, like, what they did in their life kind of thing, and put this with the tree. And for the life of me, I don't remember where it was, but I thought it was such a great store, because, you know,
yeah.
to find this kind of stuff. If I
Yeah, it's really fun. It makes you feel, you know, like a little kid going through toys. I know the American Doll Store in the city has a ton of stuff, but I haven't built up the courage to go in there, because it's all little girls, and I'm a 6'7" man walking around in the doll store. A little strange, but
heck! Well, didn't go in with your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll have to make her go with me.
Yeah, yeah. It's God's for her. she's into dolls.
Right.
Can't get her out of the habit.
Yeah, I'll try to act uninterested when in reality I'll be in heaven.
Yeah, you'll turn around and just kind of go, yeah, I know how you are. Yeah, this would be a good thing for you. And then, you know.
Right.
So have you, like, have you entered your animations for any other kind of, like, contests or anything?
I have. I've actually won a couple other ones. I won a Virgin Mobile contest that was last summer, and that was for a contest called Happy Accidents. And I did which actually the same guy who chose this one chose that one too, the guy Jerome I was talking about. That one was where you show your phone and you have a happy accident. So I had this paper animation I did where this guy that kind of looks like me, I guess, trips and his phone goes flying and it hits a burglar who's trying to steal a hippie's keyboard, and then it deflects off him and hits a raccoon in the face who's in a tree trying to steal an egg from a robin's nest. And then it deflects off the raccoon and goes inside a window where a girl picks it up and looks at it. And the phone says, I still haven't found the right girl yet. And then she looks out the window and looks at him, and then they fall in love. So that was one of them. And then I actually won a Disney contest, too. Well, I didn't win it. I was one of the finalists. I didn't win the whole thing. But Disney had a Show Your Disney Side contest. And I did one where my girlfriend helped me, and it's me, and you hear her say, did you ride the teacups? And I go, no, and then my nose grows like Pinocchio.
Yeah.
And then she goes, did you meet Cinderella? And I go, no, and it grows even longer, and the little nest pops, and the bird lands on my nose, just, you know, kind of like in Pinocchio. So that one was fun.
That's cute.
Money from Disney for that.
That's really cute. What was, I mean, do you sometimes think to yourself, after doing one, going, well, that's really sick?
Really sick?
In other words, a totally warped, animated thing that you come up with in your mind?
Yeah, no, that happens. I mean, when you're animating, you do some weird stuff sometimes, for sure. The one I'm working on right now is pretty bizarre. It's actually an idea that a buddy of mine proposed, and I'm doing it simply because it's just so absurd. It's a four-headed hydra, you know, those mythical creatures. But each head is one of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Which is just really bizarre, and I think one of them is going to breathe fire or something. But, yeah, absolutely, that definitely happens. I think I've deleted a couple just because I'm like, this is too weird. But that's the nature of being creative, you know, have some weird stuff sometimes.
Now, as far as the clip for the Tribeca Film Festival, I mean, it's going on. Is it like, can people go to and still see it, or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's on their website. If you look up 6 Second Films and the winner.
No,
Tribeca,
I don't mean on their website, if they're attending.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's been covered by a few other websites, too. I know Ad Age did something, and Ad Week, and Gizmodo, and WNYC all covered it. So,
no, I'm just wondering, I guess, because the Times Ledger had asked me if, because the film festival is still going on, if somebody goes to the film festival, can they still see your 6 Second clip?
If they go to the film festival itself?
Yeah.
I don't think they're showing them at the film festival because they're really short. Maybe they are, but there's not like a night where they show, you know, 30 seconds of our vines. But it would be nice if they did, actually. But no, I don't think they're doing that.
Okay, so basically, you don't know if it will be shown.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But you can see it on their website. They have all the winners, and they have the runners up too. You can click and see the top 40 that were chosen, and there's a few other of mine in there. So,
do you like have? Do you not model yourself after? Do you have somebody that like you know that you sort of I guess looked up to who did you know doing animation that you said I want to be like that and do something like that or anything?
Yeah, there was a lot of influences growing up. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the Wallace and Gromit animations. So you ever seen those claymations? They're by Aardman Studios, and they had a few feature films that they made. He was a pretty big influence on myself and my friend. We sent away and bought the little kit when we were kids and got it in the mail, and I'm all excited about it. But there's plenty of influences. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, the Monty Python animations that Terry Gilliam did, and I don't know, Tim Burton's early stuff, all the stop motion influences me. I've always loved that. I mean, I love just traditional animation too. You know, all the Disney stuff was, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so, you know, it was Aladdin and The Lion King and all that stuff was pretty big. But there's tons. I mean, even like the shows that were on in the afternoons when I was growing up as a kid were big, you know, DuckTales and all those were big influence. So I've always been into just cartoons and stop motion and everything like that.
I can't think of it offhand. But there used to be a show on TV when I was a kid that you could take this piece of plastic and put it on your TV and draw on it with them.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool, but it got to be a problem because, like, some kids would do it without the plastic and the paper.
Right, just draw all over the TV. Yeah,
I'll have to look that up and see what that was, because I just had this flashback of that. Have you ever gotten in trouble in school for, like, doing animations?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was notorious. I mean, any notebooks I still have left over from school are just covered in drawings. I'd always try to start, you know, put the head at the top of my paper. I'd write whatever the subject was, and then by the end of it, it's just covered in doodles and all sorts of stuff. I was a decent student, but I certainly probably could have been better if I wasn't drawing all the time. I would always draw my teachers too, do spoofs of them for my friends, and yeah.
Okay, so right now you live in Ridgewood, right?
I just moved to Ridgewood. Yeah.
Okay.
Got myself a little animation studio in a separate room, so I'm not just destroying the living room and everywhere else for my girlfriend. So,
that's good to hear. Okay, because I'm going to be I'm going to make arrangements. I'm going to pop over so I can take some photos. And you don't have to clean up. Don't worry about it. However that room looks is how I want to capture it. So don't, like, it, you know. I mean, you could put, like, your dirty underwear away, you know.
I keep my dirty underwear all over my desk. So that's the way it's going to happen.
Well, it was absolutely great having you, and I'm really glad that you won.
Thank you.
And I guess now, would you mind, I'd say, that if, like, on the Times Ledger, when this comes out, would you mind if, like, they put the clip on there so people could see it?
No, I don't mind that at all. No, that's
okay.
Fine.
All right. Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah, it was great. It was great talking to you, Merle. I appreciate you having me on your radio show.
Yeah, and I guess I'll see you next week then.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks a bunch. Have a great evening.
You too, Will. Have a good one.
Bye. Bye, Lawrence.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, while we're waiting for other people to call in, let's see. What can I play here? Okay, I got a lot of stuff here. Let's see. I don't know. Well, because this is, it's just that I like it. I like Brickman, what can I tell you? I need to get some jazz to put up here so that I don't have that. I did it as a video. You know, while the people from Jazz Overground were at the news conference, but I don't know how to. I know I'll have to call one of my friends. But anyway, well, I'll tell you what. Let's just go and chat with them. Let's see who I got. Who do I got on here? Do I have, is this Amanda or is this?
This is Brian.
Brian.
How you doing,
hey,
Mo?
Brian. Oh, just fine. Absolutely fabulous.
Great.
I probably should have, I realized that, the group that played is not a group. Am I correct?
Right. I had meant to have someone mention that.
Yeah.
We are an organization. However, we can function as a band because we just happen to have that exact diversity. A bass player, a drummer, a guitar player, and a horn.
Uh-huh. Did you rehearse before?
No, yesterday we just played standards. We played a blues and a standard called On the Sunny Side of the Street. So we just said that that's what we were going to do, and we know those tunes.
Oh, okay. All right, so I think I got Amanda's on too, right, Amanda?
Hi, Merle.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, just fine. Well, let's start with which one of you wants to explain exactly what the Jazz Overground is?
The Queens Jazz Overground is a collective of Queens-based musicians, and our mission is to bring more jazz to Queens through concerts, workshops, and what else, Brian? What am I forgetting?
Education.
Workshops, concerts, education, yeah. So, and jazz, historically, Queens has just been a huge place for jazz. I mean, this is where all the famous jazz musicians moved when they had money to buy a house. They moved to Queens. There's a Queens Jazz Trail that you may have seen maps of, or I'm not sure. Have you seen them, Merle?
Oh, yeah, I did a whole article on that already.
Yeah. So basically, we just want to bring more jazz to Queens. There's a young, really young community in Queens of jazz musicians. There's a lot of kids playing jazz in school. There's some great teachers in the Queens public schools that are, bringing jazz to the public schools. And Flushing Town Hall is doing a great job. So we just want to kind of, all come together.
How did this group come together, Jazz Overground? How did this happen?
Well, it started with Amanda, and Amanda had organized a bunch of her friends in Long Island City into an organization called the Long Island City Jazz Alliance. I'll let Amanda elaborate about that.
Oh, go ahead, Amanda. Elaborate.
Well, so we have the Long Island City Jazz Alliance, but then some people moved away, some other people were busy, some other people were unreliable in ways that I'm not going to discuss radio. And then I was just thinking, you know what? Queens is a really big borough. And I just started talking to people that I knew, like Brian, for example. Brian, I just started looking at my friends that live in Queens and play jazz music in Queens. And, so I started asking friends that I knew were go-getters, that were people that were great musicians that had a lot of integrity and that I felt like together we could do some great things. So I approached Brian and I approached Josh Deutsch, trumpet player, and Mark Wade, the bassist, and I just felt like all of them had something really great to bring to a collective, and we all had different strengths that together could make something really great.
So well, I had been running a session at a place called Blackbirds around the same time. I started that about 3.5 years ago, and it kind of coincided with Amanda and the others starting the Long Island City Jazz Alliance. And I was really gung-ho to go to venues in Queens to recruit people to come to my session. And I ran that session for about 3.5 years. And what I saw in that time is, because it was in the central part of Astoria on 30th Avenue, and I'm still meeting musicians that I didn't know who live in Astoria. So what we discovered is that it's really a hotbed of musicians here who, you know, are doing what everyone else does and going to Manhattan and going to Brooklyn to play a lot. And we were like, well, let's do it here. Let's find venues. Let's make sure they're taking good care of the musicians. And so we kind of joined forces to sort of consolidate our power.
Okay. Yeah. So the four. So let me just ask. So are you, like, the four of you, I mean, were you there for the conference because the four of you are the ones that represent Jazz Overground?
Yeah, well, there are only four board members, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it is...
B-O-A-R-D, right? Not B-O-R-E-D, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes at long meetings or, you know, conference calls and such, we may be bored, but I'm talking about the board of directors.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And, oh, okay, so now, and do each of you, like, represent something as a board member? You know, like, if, would I come to one of you for one thing, et cetera, or are you just like, you know, we need four board members and we're the ones, the founders, and that's us?
Well, we have titles. Go ahead,
okay.
Amanda.
Well, we do have titles. For example, if you were going to do stuff regarding education, Josh is sort of the one, Josh is the one that's involved with that. My title is the director of operations, and I you know, my husband always calls me the ideas girl, so I'm kind of the ideas girl. And then Mark Wade's the director of development. He is really, he and his wife Terry Wade, who is also sort of not a board member per se, but definitely heavily involved in the organization. They're the ones that, you know, have written the grants and done stuff like that. Brian is the director of promotion and outreach. Brian brings people together. Brian does the email newsletter.
And I'm also the limo driver.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's
we needed everybody.
Title. And
yes.
Amanda corrects grammar and spelling, but that's not in her title. And,
I used to be a proofreader. I used to proofread music books for a living.
And you each have your own like, well, Amanda, like you, your thing is guitar, correct?
Yes. And we all have our own bands. We all have our own projects. We all have different musical activities going on. I have a bunch of different ensembles that I've put together. I also play in some large ensembles, and I teach guitar at Berklee College of Music in Boston 2 days a week.
Oh, okay. And so we had, I don't have the things in front of me. Who was the drummer, et cetera, et cetera?
Brian. I'm the drummer. Josh Deutsch, who we said is our director of education, he's a trumpet player.
Oh, he was on the trumpet, right?
Yeah. And Mark Wade, our director of development, he was playing bass.
Okay.
Well, you know what else I wanted to say?
No.
Is
say it.
Relative to Blackbirds, I started an email campaign, and I was addressing most of my friends, most of my musician friends throughout the city. And because it was in Astoria and in Queens, like, I found myself as a result of that fact, like, trying to get people to take the trip on the N train out here to go. Not that I didn't have, like, a really, really big contingent here in Astoria to draw from, but I was always trying to do my best. So I, as a part of trying to get people there, I was trying to sell people on coming to Queens and telling them everything that we have here, restaurants, you know, whatever interesting sites they might pass on the way here and such. And I find myself doing that, trying to get people out to Flushing. So we want to be like the jazz portion of the Queens Chamber of Commerce, because there are a lot of really great things here that we would like to hit people to other than the music, but obviously we're trying to attract them based on the music.
Did you need an in to get to the right people, or did you already get to them?
Well, we're trying to connect with them. Do you mean here in the borough or outside of the borough?
In Queens.
Well, you know, we're always making connections. We all very, very much live in our neighborhoods. And
no, I'm asking if you already made the connections or you need to.
Well, we've made many, and we're always looking to make more.
Okay. Just
because we've done fundraisers.
Call me at another time and just tell me what you need.
Oh, okay. I appreciate
okay,
that.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
That's why I'm asking, because as a matter of fact, you know, did you meet Rob? He was there. He's from the Queens Economic Development Corporation.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't meet him.
Okay. He was there. He stopped by. He came over to me and said, "Here, Merle, you'll need these." And it was a bunch of things having to do with the World's Fair. And I don't know, like, whether he, you know, hung around, he stayed or whatever. Okay. I'll make sure that, just call me another time.
That would be great, because we'd like to, I mean, as much networking and support we can build around us as we can, obviously we would love to do that. We've connected with some of the politicians here, and some of them we've had a hard time reaching.
Who did you have a hard time reaching?
Well, we're having a hard time now getting a hold of Melinda Katz.
Okay, I'll get that for you.
And we have a new councilman here in Astoria who now I have to get after him. I finally connected with the old one, and then he was gone from office.
Melinda herself might be busy, but I can get you whoever you need. Melinda is like, it's like I'm getting a press release from them almost like every day.
Of course. No, we know they're busy people.
I think she's on the Queens Council of Arts or something. She's heavily into this. I think she would be quite helpful to you.
Well, that's good to hear, and we've gotten a lot of support from the Queens Council of the Arts, so we definitely have some friends over there who we're very appreciative of.
Now, in terms of the venue of Flushing Town Hall, are you going to try to, like, play it often?
We do. We have we actually had curated a concert series for the 2013-14 season called Music Mix, Cue Jaws Picks. And
mm-hmm.
we featured band leaders from Queens and continue to feature band leaders from Queens once a month. It's usually the first Friday, sometimes the second Friday of every month. And then we host a jam session once a month. So we have a pretty steady presence at Flushing Town Hall, which we love, and we just love Flushing Town Hall and the people there. And we're there a lot.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, the Spring Jazz Festival is coming up.
Yes.
Yes.
That is a week from Saturday, on April 26th, and that's at Flushing Town Hall. We'll be using the whole building. We have a lot of events. We have educational events in the afternoon from 12 until about 5:45. And then 6 p.m. we start the professional bands, and they'll be playing downstairs in the gallery and upstairs in the theater, and there will be a new band starting half hour, every half hour, on the half hour, and you can literally run up and down the stairs and catch 7 different bands. You can walk up and down the stairs.
Year.
You don't have to work hard.
Okay.
All of those bands. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just. I'm just looking at the schedule. The first thing says Louis Armstrong Collage Workshop. Do you have any idea what that is? Or you know?
Oh yeah, that's a workshop that we have for the kids. Louis Armstrong was a collage. He loved to make collages. That was his hobby.
Okay. I saw that there. But what is the workshop involve?
The workshop involves there's an artist there who helps the kids make collages. They make their own collages. So for the little kids, it's a nice thing to have at the festival.
And does it have so it has not necessarily the making collages having to do with Louis Armstrong then?
But inspired by his collages because they're hanging on the walls surrounding the workshop.
Okay. I was just kind of curious about that. As I left, and I saw all these things on the wall, but I realized it was time for me to leave, and I went, had I known, I would have, gone and take photos of the collages.
You can really find them online. They're really amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be going to over at Queens College where the archives are. And getting some stuff, too.
Great.
Yeah, you'll have a great time doing that.
Yeah. So, now, you guys, do you all live in Queens or just?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Well, there's no carpet bagging here because we love the neighborhoods that we live in. And
mm-hmm.
that's why we're doing what we do.
When you're performing at Queens locations, are you sending your press releases to people in
Well, we're doing that for this event. Our Spring Jazz Fest is kind of our signature event. This is our second annual. And we also did a 2-day jazz festival. It was lower key because we didn't have the educational component. But we did it at the Single Cut Brewery in Astoria, which is the first microbrewery in Queens since Prohibition. And we did press releases for that. Flushing Town Hall does press releases for the concerts that we curate there, but they take care of that. Most of it we kind of limit to social media and email.
Okay, but are you emailing all the Queens local papers?
No.
Yeah. No, we have them. We've been in contact with them. Terry and Mark have been in. Terry's been in contact with them.
Oh, okay. I was just kind of wondering.
Yes, but we don't send them our newsletter, and I think that it would be
valuable
basically
ask him to put it on their calendar events or stuff like that, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because we're also here, we're also trying to be of service to all of the jazz musicians here in Queens. So as part of our newsletter, if there is people playing at a venue in Queens, I send out a little, hey, what's everybody doing this month? Let me know, and I'll put it in the newsletter.
Oh, that's good.
And
yeah.
If we could get that out to the press, that would be great because that's really very grassroots and within our, email list.
But that's something that Terry Wade does? That's what she takes care of?
Well,
no,
mostly
I do that.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Amanda.
I'm sorry. No, Brian. Yes. Brian, you were saying.
Well, I do the email list, and as far as Terry, we she's not technically part of the board, and we feel guilty about working her too hard because, for the most part, we don't send press releases. We just do it in a sort of grassroots kind of fashion with our email list and our Facebook and our Twitter page.
Okay. Jeff Simmons, what's his role?
Oh, he's been hired by Flushing Town Hall, I believe.
Oh, okay. So he works, he's with Flushing Town Hall, not with you guys.
I think so.
Oh, okay.
But,
no, I was wondering.
Flushing Town Hall has been extremely helpful to us. And, I mean, we've been essentially partnering with them. And a lot of the help that they've given us has been invaluable. So we really appreciate their being there and their being so supportive of us.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm really glad to hear that. I mean, there's not a lot of, like, you know, the thing is, like, there's no really, like, nightclubs kind of thing in Queens. Like, you know, for instance, I could, you know, go to, like, the Metropolitan Room or 54 Below, you know, things like that. But there's nothing like that here in Queens.
I mean, those are two cabaret clubs. Those aren't necessarily jazz clubs.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm saying, yeah.
Are you saying there's no cabaret clubs?
Huh?
Are you saying there's no cabaret clubs in Queens?
You did, or I don't seem to see any.
But that's what you're talking about,
right? There's plenty going on.
This what?
There's plenty going on. There's Terrazza 7, which is on Queen Street in Jackson Heights, and they have music very often. A lot of times it's jazz. John Benitez runs a Sunday night session there. There is a steady Sunday night gig with what they call the Doms Trio, run by Brock Hempel, a pianist, Sam Trapchak, a bassist, and Kristen Coleman, a drummer. And they're playing in Astoria at a place called Domini's every Sunday night. Espresso 77 in Jackson Heights has music. LIC Bar in Long Island City has music. Amanda, what's the name of Cranky, the new name of Cranky?
Oh, it's 1682 or something like that.
Yeah,
they,
you
know,
New
Orleans cuisine now, Cajun. They serve Cajun,
you know,
cuisine now.
If you can kind of get me a list of these places, that would be great. I might, swear, I'd like to do like a, maybe I can do a piece on, you know, where to go in Queens for entertainment. Because I think people tend to think of either going to the Queens Theater in the Park or Colden Center or Queensborough Community College in terms of entertainment. And I'm going, well, you know, where can you go to, you know, where is some, like, clubs that you can go to? Which is, then that would be great. Then I can, you know, in terms of, I can do an article on a list of,
sure.
Yeah. Where
isn't
to go
there
and
on our website?
Watch.
Isn't there a list on our website?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to queensjazz.org,
yeah,
you can go to
venues.
Yeah, Queens Venues for Jazz on the resources page.
And there's
also
a calendar.
Yeah, it's all there with the links and everything.
There's a calendar.
Oh, great. Okay, that's
except
good to
there's
know.
There's the wrong address for Cafe Henri. It's the one on Bedford Street. It should be the one in Queens.
Okay,
oh, okay.
Well, we'll fix it.
Yeah,
yeah,
we have a few things
it.
To fix. We'll fix it.
Okay. Do you ever do you either ever pop into Birdland?
Yes. Why? Why do you ask?
Oh, I'm asking because like, they always do these things. I'm always getting email from their PR people.
Oh, yeah. No,
and I was wondering because
place.
They have, especially like Monday nights.
Jim Crusoe's Cat Party.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
well,
do you guys ever pop
again,
in and just do your thing?
Well, that's more of the cabaret thing. We're more focused on jazz and not really the cabaret angle. That's a totally different angle, actually. Having been part of it for a moment, I know that they're like two different worlds. Completely.
Well, I play some cabaret jobs, and I don't consider them jazz gigs. I consider them cabaret. And actually, the place that you mentioned, the Metropolitan Room, is trying to get some jazz happening, but mostly that's a cabaret venue. And I don't like saying this, but I feel like Birdland is kind of turning into that a little bit, because they're so in the middle of all of the Broadway audiences, and cabaret is kind of aimed a little bit more in a theater-goer's direction than it is to a jazz audience. And I feel like Birdland is trying to capitalize on that for some of their business, and I don't know if I'd say it's as pure jazz a venue as they started out being.
Yeah, but they still have really good stuff there.
Oh, they do. I mean, it's all high quality, and it's great. One of the things that we like to focus on here for the Queen's Jazz Overground is that this isn't, you know, you can go to certain rooms in the city, certain big famous jazz clubs, and the music can be very much designed for tourists. But here in Queens, and so can a lot of the restaurants and stuff like that, but here in Queens you're not going to find the sort of chain restaurants. You're not going to find the same things that you do every place else in America. You're going to find a lot of ethnic places that are the real deal. And we feel like that about the music here, that the musicians that are creating music here and in Brooklyn, that it's a little bit more of the real deal. There's like more creative force going on, and we're not taking the spice away for the tourists quite as much. We're presenting it like as we want it.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I just thought that I can actually do something like the jazz pub trail, or the jazz, you know, the trail, you know, then, you know,
oh,
that
see.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz trailing.
Jazz trailing
in Queens.
Yeah.
Take a jazz hike.
Right. Oh, okay.
Well, thank you so much for
yes,
for
you're
interviewing
quite
us.
Welcome. I'm, you know, really glad to have you now. I just have to write the article and get it in by tomorrow.
All right. Well,
let
us know. We'd love to see it. We'd love to see it before you send it off, if that's okay.
No, it won't do you any good. I send it in to the newspaper. They do the editing. I have no idea what it's going to look like until it comes out.
All right. Well, just let us know when it comes out then.
Okay. Well, I know it'll definitely be out. It's going to have to be out in the next edition. I know that.
Which is when?
That's next Thursday, or Friday, rather.
Great.
Just in time for the
fantastic.
Festival.
Just
right.
In time.
That's why they want it by tomorrow.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Merle.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening.
Thanks, you too.
Okay,
thanks,
Merle.
We appreciate your taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank
sure.
you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm going to have some din-din now. And, well, okay. I just want to kind of quickly say this show, Mr. Selfridge, that's on right now, featured Newhouse Chocolates. And I wanted to see if it was like, were they really around at the time, et cetera, and they were. And so there's their biggest store in New York is located in Madison Avenue, and I went there today to interview the manager and taste some of the chocolates. And so I will be I'll definitely be writing about that and having somebody on the air to talk about it. Okay, they wanted me to remind, Okay, so I brought them home, the chocolates home, and they were all, and Esther and Eunice checked out the chocolates, and it's on their blog, estherandeuniceadventures.blogspot.com. So, okay, time for dinner. I'll have for chocolate afterwards. So, everybody, have a great day, evening, afternoon, morning, or whatever. Just chill. Yeah. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. No, I think we had enough of that. Oh, well. All right. Goodbye.